amazing. Hey, wasn't that powerful? I love worshiping with you guys. It's just great. It just there's this sense that God's moving and doing stuff. And I love it when together we declare truths about God. I love that line where it's about death, where is your sting? Our resurrected king has rendered you defeated. And there's a sense that we are fighting for the winning side. And it's so exciting just kind of declaring essentially what the angels in heaven are declaring every day and what we'll get to be a part of after this life. Just quickly before I share anything about today, I was trawling on Facebook not too long ago, a couple of days ago when I was kind of preparing my PowerPoints. And I came across some photos of me and Letton Hall from Facebook in like 2007, 2008. And there's a really classic one, Matt, it's of me and you. And I'd like you to come up here because we're going to recreate it. If you'd show, I think it's on the next slide, this photo of me and Matt. So that is circa 2008. I found a cupcake. Do you remember that, Matt? Come over here, mate. I thought it would be good, if, for old time's sake, we just had a little bit of recreation of back then. So this would have been, how old would people have been in 2008? So this is what, like 8 years ago. So you need to be holding it in your other hand.
Yeah, you can manage
it. Have we got a photographer? Brilliant. Yeah. So you need to have taken a bite and have half of it kind of falling out of the left-hand side of your mouth. Yeah, a bit more. I think we need more. Yeah, and I think a bigger chunk, mate. I think just a bigger chunk. Like, have your mouth. Okay, and we'll just do this. So I've got my hand around you, and I'm going like... Have we got it? Wonderful. That was just for me. Smash them out. There's a cake for you. It's good just to take opportunities of preaching just to, you know, fulfill something that you want to do. Cool. Next slide, please, if that's all right. We've been talking about this theme of follow over the last couple of days. That is our theme. And on the first night, we thought about what it means to be a follower. We looked at the story of Moses and thought a little bit about how Moses made time to encounter God. And even in the ordinary of his life, God burst in and did an amazing work and gave him an incredible mission. And as followers, we've all been given this mission. And I'll think a little bit more tomorrow about what that mission might look like for you. But followers are given a mission by God. Then yesterday we started looking about maybe some of the things that as followers we come up against that hold us back. And yesterday we looked at when times get hard and when circumstances are tough. We looked at the story of Lazarus and how although Jesus is Jesus does miracles and can do amazing things, sometimes we come up against tough questions and it's really difficult to know what to do with those things. However, the question of our faith or the statement of our faith shouldn't be, God, I will follow you if, but God, I will follow you even if. And today I'm going to look a little bit, and you'll be grateful to know, I'm not going to talk very long. I'm going to try and not talk for more than about 10, 15 minutes, because then I've got a video that I'd love to show you. So I'll chat for about 15 minutes, I'll show you a video, and then we'll do a bit of a response. And today I'm going to look at another thing that holds us back sometimes, and that's our mistakes. And I guess my theme for today is that followers pick themselves back up. People who follow Jesus need to be people who pick themselves back up. When I was... at university, I had a great time, really enjoyed my 3 years. But I don't know about you, but I'm one of those people who every now and again, I just get a little bit bored. And so I basically hope that something really exciting will happen in a day. I don't know about you, but I don't know if you have those days where you're just kind of like, this is a really boring day. It's just kind of ticking along. I wish something amazing would happen in this day. So it could be a little bit more exciting, a little bit more memorable. Well, one day I was having one of these days. I think I was in my second year. I've been writing dissertation for the last few days, getting really bored. And I just kind of thought to myself, wouldn't it be great if something really exciting happened today? And so I was on my way to university, and so I was doing my walk. I was in Sheffield, so I walked down a load of hills to get to my university. And I was walking down a particular hill, which at the bottom of this hill was like an intersection by a hospital, and I turned left by the hospital on my way to university. And I got to this intersection, and before I was able to turn left and go down, this woman accosted me. She kind of came out of the blue, and her first question wasn't a question I was expecting. She came up to me and she said, "Are you Dave?" And I kind of thought to myself, obviously, no, I'm not. But because I was having one of those days where I just wished something exciting would happen, something in my brain just went, "Say yes." And so this woman comes up to me, and she looked quite frantic. She looked like she was in a bit of a rush, and she said, "Are you Dave?" And I don't know why I did it, but I just said to her, "Yeah, I am." And you know, one of those moments where you do something and you immediately realize that you shouldn't have done slash said that particular thing. This was one of those moments, because what this woman proceeds to do is say to me, "Where have you been for the last 10 minutes?" To which I had to say, "Well, it's just up there." This woman then says, "Well, we're going to be late." And she puts her arm around me and starts to lead me away from my destination. And I'm thinking to myself, man, this woman must have been given this, I don't know, profile of someone who was wearing the same clothes as me or something like that. She was obviously waiting to meet someone here. And she starts talking to me. And she starts saying things like, "Okay, so when you meet the guys at this place, you've got to make sure that you give a really good first impression, because they're counting on those first 5 minutes." And I'm thinking, I'm just kind of saying, "Yeah, no, that's absolutely fine. Yeah, no, of course, I'm really happy to do it." And in my mind, I'm just thinking, what the heck am I doing? What am I doing? And as she leads me, I'm realizing after about 2 minutes that she's leading me towards her car. And I'm going to have to get into this woman's car and meet these people and give a really good first impression. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm Dave. I'm going to have to be, I'm Dave. I'm going to have to change my name legally to being Dave. And we're getting closer to her car, and I'm thinking to myself, just stop this ridiculous facade that you've got going on. Tell this woman the truth. But because it had been a snowball and I'd already said the first lie, things were just getting worse and worse. And I was ready to be Dave for the rest of my life. And we're getting closer to her car, and we get to her car. And I turn around to this lady and I say, "Look, just before I get in your car, you're going to find this really funny. You remember earlier when I said that I was Dave? Well, I'm not. I'm Dan. I was just on my way to university hoping something exciting would happen." I remember what this woman said to me next. She stared at me from the other side of the car and she said, "You are the worst human being." And I said, "I know, I'm so sorry." I walk back and I see someone on, no joke, by the corner, dressed in the same coat as me, looking like, "I'm called Dave and I'm going to be meeting someone here." Oh, it's just one of those moments. I'm sure you have times in your life where you just think, what the heck am I doing? Why have I done this? We all make mistakes in life, and that is a fact. And as inevitable as it is as a Christian that we're going to come up against hard times, so it is inevitable that somewhere along the way, we're also going to make a mistake. And my worry is that sometimes we make our Christian faith too much like our Instagram account or our Facebook account. You know, with your Facebook, your Twitter, your Instagram, it's all about showing the best and leaving the rest. It's all about making ourselves look good. And I saw one of those kind of funny pictures on the internet the other day, which read, "I wish my life was as good as my Instagram account made it out to look like." And our faith becomes a little bit like on the front, the profile picture, the cover picture. "Yeah, life's really good with me. Check this out. Doesn't it look good?" When actually behind the scenes, we know it's just not up to the scratch that we want to convince people it is. And you know, the journey that Jesus invites us on, the journey of following, isn't a journey that we're always going to get right. It's not one where every single step we take is going to work perfectly. But it is a journey of refinement where Jesus seeks to shape us into the person he wants us to be. I'm just going to, open up the Bible a little bit and use an example from the Bible. So if you've got your Bible with you, there's going to be two passages I'm looking at of the same story, but across two accounts. So I'd love you to have Luke chapter 22 open, but also if you're able to as well, have John chapter 21 kind of sidelined as well. Maybe put a little bit of paper in that one. We're going to start with the Luke passage. Luke chapter 22. And we're going to be looking from verse 54. So Luke 22, 54, and then kind of in the side, John 21. But we'll come back to that in a little bit. Don't worry too much about it. And this story from the Bible tells us of a guy called Peter. Now, Peter was one of the first disciples that Jesus called to follow him. And it is fair to say that he was a fiery character. He was getting stuck in when Jesus was doing miracles. He was the one that walked on water. He was the one that when Jesus was being led off, which we'll look at our story in a second, was the guy who drew his sword out and chopped a guy's ear off. He was a getting stuck in kind of guy. And in his life with Jesus, Peter would have seen the most phenomenal things take place. He would have seen miracle after miracle. He would have seen healing after healing. He would have seen Jesus and heard Jesus say the most powerful of words. And then it comes to the Last Supper. And a time where Jesus said, "You know, I'm about to be betrayed. I'm about to die." And of course, Peter, being the hot-headed bloke he is, flies in. He's like, "No, I will never let this happen. Not on my watch. You're going to be fine. I'll protect you." And Jesus turns around and says something that Peter doesn't expect. Jesus says, you're about to be tested, Peter. And the truth is this, before night falls, you're going to betray me three times. And Peter's like, no, there's no way I'd do that. I'm one of your closest followers. There's no way I'd betray you like this. And Jesus is like, no, this is going to happen. And this particular verse, verse 54, which I'm about to start reading, comes just after that time where Jesus is arrested and drawn away, and Peter's just cut a guy's ear off. Verse 54, then seizing him, that's Jesus, they led him away and took him into the house of the high priest. Peter followed at a distance. But when they had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and had sat down together, Peter sat down with them. A servant girl saw him seated there in the firelight. She looked closely at him and said, this man was with him. But he denied it. Woman, I don't know him, he said. A little later, someone else saw him and said, you're also one of them. Man, I'm not, Peter replied. And about an hour later, another asserted, certainly this fellow was with him, for he is a Galilean. Peter replied, man, I don't know what you're talking about. And just as he was speaking, the rooster crowed. The Lord turned and looked straight at Peter. And then Peter remembered the word the Lord had spoken to him. Before the rooster crows today, you will disown me three times. And he went outside and wept bitterly. And this guy, Peter, as I just said, had been stuck close to Jesus for so long. And you know, many of us will have moments over this week maybe, and you feel like you're having that moment where you're stuck quite close to Jesus. You know, we've had these incredible encounters with Jesus. And if I was to say to you now, you're going to make mistakes, you might be like, Peter, no, it's not going to happen. No, I'm gunning for God right now. I'm going to be fine. Nothing's going to go wrong with me. And maybe like Peter, when we approach Jesus, we make these promises that this time I'm going to get it straight on. But there's a few things about this example with Peter that I'd just like to flag up to us that I think is really interesting and maybe teaches us some really interesting things about maybe times where we make mistakes. If you go to the next slide, that'd be great. You'll find, that says temptation, do you really want to spend the rest of your life wondering? In verse 54, it says, then seizing him, they led him away and took him into the house of the high priest. And then really key words, Peter followed at a distance. I think that's really interesting about Peter, because here's someone that stuck really close to Jesus, that was fighting people off when crowds were coming to see him. And yet at this point it says, Peter followed at a distance. And one thing's for sure, although we will make mistakes and that's an inevitability, there's a direct correlation between the times where we find ourselves following Jesus at a distance and times we make mistakes. You see, because Peter wasn't stuck so close to Jesus, he found himself in a vulnerable position. He found himself speaking to people he probably shouldn't have been speaking to. He found himself sat in a place he probably wouldn't have been sat. And it just started with him following Jesus at a distance. On the first night, I was talking about Moses and how at the Mount Horeb, we talked about how Moses continually stuck close to God's presence. And I know in my life as a young person, I'd come to Letton Hall, I'd come to other things over the summer, and I'd feel really close to Jesus. But as the days and weeks after Letton Hall finished, I just found myself maybe following Jesus at more and more of a distance. And there was this frustration that I shared on the first night. We all want to make a difference. We want to get things right. We want to be a game changer. We want to be a world changer. And yet things just don't quite work out. But should we be surprised that if we follow Jesus at a distance, that we don't end up making the kind of difference we want to make? Now, obviously, Jesus isn't physically present these days. But when I'm talking about following Jesus at a distance, are you spending the kind of time studying God's word as you're doing at this camp? Are you spending that time in prayer alone in your room? When you're at home, do you find yourself when you're at school and you come up against something that your first response is prayer? You see, when we're here, things are easy, aren't they? We're all together, we're all on the same page, we're all worshiping Jesus. And life's not always going to be as easy as that. However, there is this calling that we need to stay close to Jesus and not be like Peter, who followed at a distance. The second thing he does, and I think it's Mark that actually puts it a little bit different to Luke. And Mark says that Peter warmed himself by another person's fire. You know, we've got that fire on over there at the moment, and I'm just looking at it now, and I can see its warmth, and I can see how nice it would be just to kind of cuddle up against, get a rug over me. Over the next week, I'm going away to the Lake District with a load of our friends, and we've got a massive log fire. I can't wait. Just get in. I want to be a man and stoke the fire. But Peter finds himself in a place where it's cold, where he's distanced, and he sees a fire in the distance, and he goes, man, that looks like a place that I can get warm. That looks like a place where we can get secure. I wonder in your life what those other fires might be. Those things that when you know you're not following Jesus, you get drawn to and led away from. You see, Peter, he ends up doing the very thing that he wishes he didn't do. He says to Jesus, I'll never deny you. I'll never disown you. That is the one thing I won't do. And yet that is the exact thing that he does. And I wonder for some of us, if you have those things in your life where you're like, this is the one thing I don't want to fall back into. I don't want to look at that thing again. I don't want to act like that again. And you make promises to Jesus. Jesus, I'll never do that thing again. And then you find yourself doing it and you're like, oh man, I made that promise. I wonder what those fires are for you that you find yourself warming by. I was sharing with the lads in the seminar that we were doing earlier a little bit of my story, and I won't repeat myself for you guys, but I'll just kind of paraphrase it a little bit. That how when I was 14 years old, I fell into a very damaging addiction to pornography, and how that was a journey that stuck with me for about 6 years of my life. And I was telling the guys a little bit about how that warped my perception of relationships, myself and women. But one thing I didn't talk about was what that did to me spiritually. You see, spiritually, it felt like every time I was falling, I was pushing God further and further away. And I kept making these promises like, you know, Jesus, this will be the last time and I'll do it. And because I'd do it after saying that, I would feel like I was pushing myself even further away from God. And like I was, ultimately, I felt hopeless. I felt like I'd been doing this thing so many times. How could God love me when I just kept doing this particular thing? And it was a battle. And it was a battle that ultimately, when I made a final decision, do you know what? I'm going to end this. It still took me another 6 months to get over it. I found myself coming to times like this and going, yes, come on, it's great. Going back to my room and finding myself following Jesus at a distance again and warming myself by that other fire. I wonder what the fires are for you in your life. But this isn't a bit of the story I love about Peter and Jesus. That comes a little bit later, and I promised I won't talk for too long, so we'll fly along. If you turn into your Bibles to that John 21 that you had open, and we'll look at John 21 and verse 15. I'll just wait for you guys to get there really quickly, and then I'll chat. And so this comes after the whole crucifixion and resurrection. Jesus has given up his life for his followers and for everyone. And then he's risen again 3 days later and he makes these appearances to his followers. And this is one of them. Basically what happens is the disciples are fishing and they see Jesus. And Jesus beckons them in and he cooks them a breakfast. And verse 15 says this. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, that's the same guy, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said, you know that I love you. And Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And Jesus said, take care of my sheep. The third time he said it, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things, you know that I love you. And Jesus said, feed my sheep. Now, you probably have heard it said before, but of course what's great about this passage is that Jesus asks this question to Peter 3 times. And it's almost as if Jesus knew the whole journey Peter was going to go on, that he was going to deny Jesus 3 times. And so it's almost like each time Jesus asks Peter this question, he's reinstating it. But what I love about what Jesus says is that he knows what Peter's done. He knows he mucked up. And he could have said things at that point like, Simon Peter, why the heck did you do that thing when you betrayed me? Why did you do that? Or he could have said, Simon Peter, you need to do a week of going away and thinking about what you've done and coming back. Jesus doesn't do that because the focus of what Jesus said is completely based around love. Jesus asks Peter, do you love me? And do you know what? Whether you're feeling today like you're a hopeless Christian because you've got something wrong, whether you feel like things are just okay or whether you're feeling on top of the world, the focus of Jesus is always love. Jesus always comes to us in love first. And maybe some of you today who are thinking, do you know what? I'm a bit worried about this Christian business. I'm worried about going back home. I'm worried that I'm not really a true follower because I've done this, this, and this. Do you need to hear a question from Jesus? Do you love me? And if the answer to that is truly yes, then you've still got a job to do. And that's the second thing that's really interesting. Jesus reminds Peter that he's got a mission to do. You know, as a young person struggling with pornography, what would happen was I'd become like introverted in my faith. I was kind of like, do you know what? I'm struggling with this. I feel like a bit of a rubbish Christian, so I don't want to tell other people about my faith because, you know, I'd feel like a hypocrite. I've got this struggle. I can't follow Jesus and do these two things at the same time. And I kind of shrunk into myself and I didn't make nearly the kind of impact I'd have liked to have made at my school. Jesus asks Peter, do you love me? Peter says yes, and Jesus reminds him, you've got a job to do. Feed my sheep. And don't ever let your mistakes hold you back from what God's called you to do. Now, what I'm not saying is that your mistakes don't need to be dealt with. We're going to spend a bit of time in a moment dealing with those things. But what I'm saying is we all have struggles and we all make mistakes, but we are all deeply and utterly loved by Jesus. And we've all got a job to do. Sometimes we look at some of the characters in the Bible and we go, man, those people are so like ridiculously good. How could I be like those guys? We look at David in the Old Testament. We look at Peter and we go, I wish I could be like these people. Do you know what? No one in the Bible other than Jesus is perfect. Abraham, he was too old. Timothy was too young. David was an adulterer and a murderer. Jonah ran away from God. Moses was a murderer as well. Noah, he got drunk on his own wine. Paul killed Christians. Rahab was a prostitute. Peter denied Jesus. Judas betrayed Jesus. And Lazarus was dead. Jesus uses a lot of imperfect people, and God uses imperfect people throughout the Bible. I'm going to show us a video in just a second, and then I'm going to just kind of say a couple of other points and respond. This video is called God's Chisel, and it talks a little bit about what it means to truly be a follower, that it's a process and a journey. And as you're watching this video, I just want you to think about in your mind, what are the things that I'm struggling with? What are the things that behind my Facebook Christianity profile I'm struggling with? And we're going to watch this video really quickly.